welcome as we take some time to reflect on some of the lament psalms and learn from them and their risky speech. I'd like to begin by reflecting on Psalm 42 and 43. They're actually originally one unit, and so you might care to have your Bible open at those. You may not have heard of Robert McFarlane, but he's a British writer, works at Cambridge University. He's best known for his books on nature and landscape and people and place and language. But he wrote a book in reflecting on Nan Shepherd's work, The Living Mountain, and her walks in the Cairngorms, that became quite a definitive book on nature and landscape based up around here. He said that we lack and we need a term for those places where one experiences a transition from a known landscape to another world, somewhere where we feel and think significantly differently. They exist even in familiar landscapes. There, when you cross a certain watershed, recline or snowline, or enter rain, storm or mist, such moments are rites of passage that reconfigure local geographies, leaving known places outlandish or quickened, revealing continents within counties. These words above seem to me to be a way of describing the present time of transition, as our known landscape of the familiar has changed into another world, somewhere where we feel and think significantly differently. For sure, it will mean living 2 meters apart for some time, but there are many other things too that will be different. Our known places have been reconfigured, quite literally, and we're seeking to try and to come to terms with where we find ourselves now, as we look also to what might be revealed beyond all this. And as Christians too, our journey through this has also seen transition, and there are many things that are significantly different for us as well. And I believe that the Psalms of Lament are key to how we might journey better. I want us also to look at Psalm 42 then and 43. For these psalms are a song for those moments when you don't feel like singing. It's a lament of faith when you don't feel the flames of faith flickering too warmly in your soul. Amidst the disorientation, in this in-between place of tensions, this lament actually has much to teach us. As one commentator has said, it's an honest, aching song. It's a psalm for those times when you feel separated from God. And the refrain reveals just how the separation actually feels. There's a thirsting, a deep longing to see. And the Hebrew speaks of being able to look upon the face, to know the presence of God in verse 2. And then he speaks about the way in which tears have been food day and night. And later in Psalm 43, it's like that mournful place. So there's a desperate grieving over the circumstances that they're in and the separations that it's causing. As I've said, there's also the refrain, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" And then there's the discouragement added to that and compounding that in some ways, the taunts of others about this missing or absent God of the psalmist. And yet also he says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." Deep inside the soul is downcast. The Hebrew carries the sense of being bowed down, weighed down, reduced and weakened. And then he says, "Why so disturbed within me?" The Hebrew word is hama, and it's jam-packed with that sense of, and captures the sense of how he feels. It means to murmur, to growl, to roar, to cry aloud, to mourn, to rage, to make a noise. It's about tumult and clamour, to be disquieted and be loud and to be moved and troubled, to be in an uproar. That's how his gut reaction, his soul gut reaction is. Separation, I think, we're all discovering, reduces us. In some ways, everything in our life seems to shrink, and we are disturbed, disquieted within. Whether it's at present that we cannot gather like the psalmist, or other things that we're prevented from, even with good reason, in the present circumstances, the separation is palatable, as we feel that separation from people and activity. I believe that the psalmist here can genuinely help us be real about how we feel in this separation and our sense of whatever it is that disturbs us, causes us to murmur and growl and roar and mourn or cry aloud. That's okay. The psalmist also brings to remembrance, though, that great going up to the holy place, making the pilgrimage to the pilgrim feast in Jerusalem. And the sense of that returns to him. But it creates that tension too of being in between, the separation and the longing. And so into Psalm 43, he lays out a series of complaints. Have you forgotten me? Must I keep mourning? And yet it's mingled with expressions of trust still as well. Put your hope in God. You can sense the tension where he finds himself. And the sense also of the waves, the breakers, the deep that crashes over in the doubts and everything else of life, and yet remembering and hoping, and I'll return to that word hope in a moment, but it remains in the end a state of tension that has no easy resolution. There is that waiting in these circumstances, hope being that expectancy of God to rescue. And so he says, send me your light and your faithful care. Give me these things. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It was St. Augustine who said, the thought of God stirs the human being so deeply that they cannot be content unless they praise you. Because you make us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you. The psalmist in the end pours out their soul in trust, in quiet confidence, I believe, and in hope, by which we mean waiting expectantly in God as his rescuer. So I invite you to take some time to slowly read whatever version of Psalm 42-43 that you prefer, though I sometimes read from a different version or translation, to make it me more alert to the words and the sense being conveyed beyond what I've become familiar with. You choose for yourself. But you might also like to reflect and ask, what are the longings and the things that you bring to mind just now amidst the tensions? And what are those tensions? What are the things that disturb you at this time? And maybe you can then bring these, using the psalmist's refrain, to help you frame your lament prayer, that you too may be encouraged, sustained, with confidence, and wait expectantly for God's rescue. Go well.